Amen. Amen. Remember, hold on to your connection card if you're a guest, because we're going to fill those out. We have some more things we're going to talk about at the end of service. If you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance, and I serve as a lead pastor here at Bethel. So glad that you're with us today. Before we get started in the message, I just want to introduce some guests with us today. We have our School of Every Nation Campus Ministry, 9 students with us today. These 9 students are preparing themselves to go out on the college campus as full-time campus missionaries to reach. We have a slogan, every nation, every campus. That if we change the campus, we can change the world. And I want those 9 individuals to stand up. Give them a big hand clap. Guys, stand up for me. Come on. These are next generation of campus leaders. Thank you guys so much. Also, I want you just to, well, some of you know them, some of you do not, but they are some very special friends of mine. This couple was with myself and Mike from day when we showed up here in Clarksville. We stayed at their house. They bathed us. They fed us. They allowed us to do everything and anything at their home to really, they were one of the key families to help start this church. And I want you guys to see them and give a big hand clap. And that's Joey and Cheryl. Stand up just for a moment. Joey and Cheryl Haley. Come on. Woo! Joey, you never imagined that 2 knuckleheads would come up here and all this would happen, would you? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Joe and Cheryl, they now live in Spring Hill, and so they come up to be a part of our 11th anniversary. So glad you guys are here with your 2 children. Thank you, guys. Well, guys, we're continuing our series today entitled The Bethel, The Journey Continues. See, we are just today, what we're celebrating is, yes, we're celebrating the 11 years, but we're also celebrating what God's doing, what He's going to do. The Bible clearly says that the latter will be greater than our past. Now, that's just not for the church. That's for you. You as an individual, as a family, that promise is also for you. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read a couple of verses here. So if you didn't do your Bible reading, you're going to get it in this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 14. And I'm reading out of the New International Version, or the NIV. Here we go. It says, now the body, Paul here who is writing to the church at Corinth, what he's doing is he's going to give an example to really help us understand what the church is, how the church functions by actually talking about our physical bodies. He says, now the body is not made up of one part but of many. He's talking about our physical body. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, which would be an ugly sight, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, that would even be worse. Where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Let's move to verse 27. He says, now you, He's talking to you and I. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We've been in this series, The Journey Continues, and we have a little slogan that we've really kind of said over and over again in this series, and that is, the journey begins with starting point. If this is your first time here with us, you've been coming for a couple of months now, and you want to know, how do I get involved in Bethel? Pastor Travis talked about it. Your first step is getting involved in starting point. It's next Sunday is our orientation. I really hope you attend that and get involved. We also, the journey begins in starting point. It continues in community. That God has called you, yes, to come attend Sunday morning, but also to get involved throughout the week. And you can do so with one of our community groups that meet throughout the week. See, we try to do everything we can to make those groups that so easily, where you can easily attend. We provide childcare for you. Man, that's one of the biggest obstacles that we have is childcare. We provide that, paid for, right here at the church, so you can come and grow with the church that God has connected you to. And our last statement is this. It begins with starting point. It continues in community, but it ends with leaving a legacy. And today we're going to talk about leaving a legacy. I believe this is all what we all want to do. Each of us, we want our life to matter. We want it to count. We want, when we leave this earth, for people to look back and say, man, that couple or that person, this is what they left behind. All of us, I believe, want to leave a legacy. And today we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about that. But we're going to talk about it in a way that you might often overlook when it comes to leaving a legacy. We're going to talk about how we can leave a legacy through acts of service. And we're going to look at it really by stepping back and getting a bird's eye view on what God, who God is, and how God has called us to live and what He really wants to do on this earth. Because so many times we have a very shallow and myopic view of who God is and what He wants to do in our life. Our view of God naturally leans into us just thinking about, God, how can I get my needs met? Or God, I need You to solve this problem. I need You to change this obstacle, this situation that I find myself in. And this is only natural for you and I. Because we live in a world of so much chaos, it's natural for us to go to God and say, God, I got this problem. Lord, I have this situation. But there is so much more, friend, to God. And there's so much more that He wants to do in our lives than just meeting our needs and solving our problem. And the message today really is going to build our faith. And it's really going to refocus us on Christ, because it's very difficult in today's world as a Christian to believe that we are winning. When we look around at what's going on, we can easily think that, man, we're on the wrong side. We're going the wrong direction. We are losing. But the Word of God, thank You, Lord, paints a different picture for you and I. And this is what we have to look at as we follow Jesus Christ. You need to understand that God is not up in heaven panicking, popping pills because of what's going on in our world. I mean, He is not losing His emotions or friend. He's not doing any of that. God knows exactly what He is doing, friend. And He knows what needs to happen to turn this thing around. God's plan is in full operation, whether you and I can physically see it or not. See, because of what we see, it's easy to forget that based on what Jesus has done for us, we have some great hopes to look to. But these great hopes, we often either don't understand or we never have really, we don't focus on them. And these great hopes move past human emotion and human thought. If we don't believe in these great hopes, or more, if we don't take hold of these great hopes that we have, we will find ourselves on a ride that we really don't want to be on. So what are those great hopes? Because if you're like me, I need some hope in my life. I need something I can look to besides what I physically see to keep me as a follower of Christ moving forward. So what are those great hopes? Well, those great hopes consist of the return of Jesus Christ. That, we don't talk about it much here, but that is a great hope that we have, that Jesus Christ, our King, is returning. We have the great hope of the resurrection of the dead, that whether we pass before Jesus' return or maybe a loved one has passed, our hope is that the Bible tells us that in Christ the dead will arise. That we has a great hope for us, the resurrection of the dead. Another great hope is the renewal of all creation. That what we see is going to be changed when Jesus Christ, when He returns. See, you're not going to find these great hopes watching your favorite TV show or movie or reading your favorite magazine. They're not talking about these things. It's actually, though, found the Word of God continues, and Paul does it, he writes the New Testament, other New Testament writers, continues to focus us on the great hopes that are to come. Because many times we get our eyes off of what is really, we get our eyes off of what is unseen and just focus on the seen realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about this. Many of us today, we only believe and really look at what is seen. But the Bible actually tells us that the unseen realm is more real than the seen realm. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Paul went through some discouraging times. The church went through some difficult times. But he says, we don't lose heart. Why? Though outwardly we are wasting away, Yet inwardly, what is happening? We are being renewed day by day for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we what? Fix our eyes, not on what is seen. Now, many of us today, that's all we ever do is we fix our eyes on what? What is seen? Our money problem, our job problem, our marriage problem, our relational problem. It's all we ever focus on, and it overwhelms you and I. But he says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but praise the Lord. What is unseen, what? Is eternal. And one of those unseen things, many times in our life, is the great hopes that we have. And really how these great hopes factor into God's mission being fulfilled in our life. Friend, your life, whether you know it or not, is a divine setup so that you can be used by God to fulfill the mission that God has for you. But you have to understand what is the mission of God before you can ever say, God, what is the mission that you want me to be on? And this happens as we get a good theological grasp from the Word of God what this mission of God is all about. And when I say the mission of God, I'm not just talking about something that is only for those people like the elite Christians that we look at and say, man, they're a real good Christian. So God, yes, he wants to use them, but he don't want to use me. But we read it right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that what? That every single one of us has a part to play when it comes to the mission of God. Every follower of Christ, every Christian has a part to play. He says in verse 27, now you, say hello, say me, are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. The mission of God, or the mission for you and I as his followers, flows from the great hopes that we have as a church. See, here's the thing about the mission of God. The mission of God should never be thought of as separate from the hopes that we have as a church. The great hope that we have is what we stare at as we do our best to fulfill the mission that God has set before us. See, when we say yes to Jesus, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. We don't just say yes to all the promises that we love to have, talking about the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the comfort that comes through our lives. You know what we also say yes to? We also say yes to his mission. The mission of God, the work of Christ in our life, it's not two separate things. When we say yes to him, we're also saying yes to his mission. And we fulfill this mission, we run for this mission, we can stare at the great hopes that we have. And in God's plan of redemption, what you have is, you don't have an ending of an age, now get this, so a new age can begin. What you have is continuity from the present age that you and I live in now to the age when Jesus Christ will return. There's always continuity from the present age that we are living in to the age that's coming when Jesus Christ returns. Understanding this shows us why it's so important that we understand what we do and we don't do really do matter. That our lives now, friend, prepare us for what's coming in eternity. That means our mission is tied to what is to come. We as believers are supposed to be laboring for the things that are to come until Jesus Christ, until he returns. See, here's the thing that blows my mind. Here's the thing that mesmerizes me every time I see this when I look at God's word. That according to the word, again, as Corinthians tells us, we are the body of Christ. Which simply means that we are God's expression, get this, of himself to this world. God chooses. He could have done this all by himself, but yet for some reason he chose you and I. Now, If I was in the business of choosing, I definitely wouldn't have chose myself. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have chose you either. God, in his sovereignty, in his magnificence, said, you know what? I'm going to get more glory by choosing that which is broken, seeing restored and made whole. That's the way I'm going to get most glory. I could do it all by myself, but yet I'm going to choose to use human beings that have made mistakes, that have messed up, that feel guilty. I'm going to choose to send my son that my promises may come to their life, and I'm going to use them to bring about my glory, to express myself. I mean, I don't know about you, but that just makes me think, God, that is amazing that you would choose me. The Bible's clear that the ultimate plan of God is to cover the earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. This earth and all of creation was designed by God to be fulfilled, to be filled with his glory. And the cool thing is, and the amazing thing is, it's not just by God himself, but he wants to use us. He wants to use you, your marriage, your relationships, your children, to fill this earth with his glory. Unbelievable. Again, this is why it's so important for us to guard our life and to look at these great hopes and understand, man, what is coming? Because we're working to something. It gives us a great picture and perspective of why I come to church, why I serve God. Because what easily happens is church and God's mission, it just for us becomes just a Sunday morning thing. Just a segment of time throughout my week called Sunday morning. But friend, we are talking about so much more than gathering together in a building and singing songs. We're talking about being a part of God's redemptive plan of bringing the universe back into the order in which he created it. God could have done it all by himself, but yet he chose you and I. I'm going to do it through them, my people. See, this brings eternal perspective and purpose to how I live my life, how I treat people, how I treat my spouse, how I raise my kids, how I handle my money. It also points to something else that we often overlook. What I do at my job, the way I view my job, how I work when I'm at my job. We are modeling to everyone around us as a foretaste to what the kingdom of God is going to be like when Jesus Christ, when he returns. We as believers are to live now as a sign to what is to come. We are the future, get this, breaking into the present. We are God's future breaking into the present right now. This is why we love the unlovable. This is why we forgive when we've been done wrong, stabbed in the back, because I'm not here for myself. I represent something greater than myself. God wants to shine his glory through me. And if I got to turn to him or her, whoever, and say, I forgive you because I'm here on mission for him. This is why we do this. This is why we make sacrifices and we serve and we lay down our life. And we give money when it hurts. It's because we are a foretaste of God's future in the present right now. This is our identity, guys. This is who we are. We are the means by which God expresses himself to our world. Man, understanding this brings so much purpose, so much meaning to every area of my life. It helps me understand that I cannot separate my walk with God or being on mission from God, from who I am and what I do. Oftentimes, we associate Sunday morning and sometimes our family life, we associate that as being on mission for God. But when we go to work or participate in the hobbies we like to do, we have no clue that that also is a part of God's mission functioning in our lives. We think the only thing that really is a part of God's mission has to do with sharing our faith or doing some religious thing. And yes, one of the fundamental things that we're called to do as believers is to share our faith, to see people get saved. But friend, there is so much more to the mission of God than just that. If that's all we think the mission of God is, we have a very small view of the mission of God. The mission of God, yes, includes evangelism. It includes holiness. But you know, it also includes relational health, personal development, social justice, political action, cultural development, artistic expression, earth stewardship, scientific discovery, technological development, and so, so much more. The mission of God and being a follower of Him, a disciple, is not just come to church, go to a small group. Now, I know we talk about that all the time here at Bethel. Come to church. We want you to come to church, praise the Lord. Go to a small group. We talk about that over and over. So you can be easily to think, well, that's all there is to this Christian stuff. But that is way too small. There's so much more, friend. So much more when it comes to the mission of God. Fulfilling this mission and being a disciple involves every facet of the human life. Discipleship is more than just do the purple book, go through some curriculum. There's so much more. Discipleship involves discovering how I can bring the kingdom of God to my workplace. How does God want to express Himself through me at my workplace? These are the kinds of questions we need to ask. See, every person in this room, every one of you has a holy calling. Every one of you. Listen to me. It is not for those you see standing on stage, for pastors. Every one of you have a holy calling from God. If you're a real estate agent, that's a holy calling from the Lord. If you're a stay-at-home mom, that is a holy calling from the Lord. Come on, stay-at-home moms. Amen, that one. Thank you. If you're a dentist, a doctor, that is a holy calling from the Lord. If you're a teacher, that is a holy, if you're a soldier, it's a holy calling. That is not just for those you call pastor or see on stage. It's for every single one of us. And so as a follower of Jesus, you have to take the responsibility to seek God and ask Him, God, how do you want to bring about the kingdom of God in discipleship to my workplace? I'm just not here to make money. I'm not just here to punch a time card. I am here so that the aroma of Christ can spread from my life, so that the glory of God can come to my workplace, so it can be changed for what Jesus Christ has done. That's the kind of questions we have to ask. But most of the time, and again, this is the church's fault. I take full responsibility for this. Pastor Richard, you do too. Most of the time, salvation, discipleship, holy living has been reduced down to just a Sunday morning or a religious time period throughout the week. And we have lost the vision for what holistic gospel life is really like. And when I say holistic, I'm not talking about eating gluten-free. I'm talking about everything we are. And everything we do is a calling from God to bring Him glory. Being on mission is supposed to be an adventure that is thrilling and exciting. Christianity in church is not supposed to be this some bored thing that we do where we just put in our religious time card to make our wife happy. Oh, this is supposed to be an adventure. That's something exciting where I wake up every day saying, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today to my life? No wonder men don't want to go to church. Sorry, I'm getting excited. But no wonder men do not want to go to church. Because all we ever talk about at church is our deep inner feelings and how we feel. How being close to that person. Men don't want to talk about that. We don't care about how you feel. We don't care about what we feel. We want to do something. Men are designed to do, to go out and make something happen. And so men are crying out, can somebody please tell me, how does the kingdom of God, all this Christian stuff, have anything to do with what I do, my job, my hobbies, and who I am. I mean, do I have to be a wuss to serve God? Sorry, ladies. I mean, but these are the questions men are asking. Does what I do factor into what God wants to do in this earth? Or is it just this Sunday morning hour that I put in? No wonder. You know, it just came out this past week. This Ashley Madison website, you guys have probably heard about this. If you don't know what Ashley Madison, this website is, it's basically a website where somebody can go on that is married and have an affair. Their slogan is, life is short, have an affair. There was 42 million people signed up on this website, 42 million. It was hacked and 32 million names were released. And so the sad thing is there was about 15,000 of those email addresses had ended in .gov or .mil. In Australia alone, 700 of those were in the police or the government. 400 of those were pastors. So there's a lot of pastors this morning getting up and resigning from their church, their position today. Thank God that your pastor was not on that list, I can happily say, and never be on it. You'd beat me up, and you better. Punch me, kick me. Thank you. Sad thing is there's been two suicides so far because of what they've done, and they can't really, you know, just fess up to it. But, you know, it causes me, and we're going to talk more about this because in our next series we're doing, man, you don't want to miss it. It's called Marriage. Pastor Richard and I actually thought of this before this ever came out. Marriage, a lifelong love affair. You want to have an affair? Have it with your wife. She's all you need. Just treat her right. She'll be everything that you need. I can't wait to talk about that, Pastor Rich. We're going to have fun. But it causes me to ask the question, you know, why do men have affairs? Why do men? Now, ladies, you're not exempt. Ladies do too, but why do men? Why do we have affairs? And there's many reasons, but you know one of the reasons? It's because men are bored. They're just bored. They go to work. They come home. Do the same thing over and over. And there's no adventure. There's no excitement in their life. And sneaking around appeals to this adventure and this excitement. Now, that's not an excuse, men, to have an affair. But I'm saying all this to tell you that the church has done an awful job communicating how this, all this Christian stuff, that it applies to who you are as a man and what you're gifted to do. How does it apply? Man, it applies, friend, in every way. The kingdom of God and serving God and being on mission, it is an adventure. It is an adventure. It is exciting. Man, life is short. Don't have an affair. Get on God's mission. That's our slogan. Ladies, you too. You too. But all you ever hear is, when you come to church, is stop doing this, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do this, go to a group. And you begin to think, that is that all it is? And guys, it's so much more. So much more. So what do you taste like today? What are you modeling to others? Does it point to what is going to be like? Is it pointing to what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ returns? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he calls us the body of Christ. And being a body means that there's work to do. Just like when it comes around, every part of your body has work to do, something to allow your body as a whole to function properly. And it's the exact same thing in the church. So, if we could boil all this down, and before I did that and talked about the church and your involvement here and how you serve when it comes to being a part of the church, I wanted to give you a greater picture and really open your eyes up to the mission of God is so much more than just what happens on a Sunday morning. Now, Sunday morning, though, is important, and we value Sunday morning, And we want you, as a part of Bethel, also to value Sunday morning and value your involvement in Sunday morning. Because in Sunday morning, we have the opportunity as a people to reach a lot more people than we would on our own throughout the week. When the doors open, praise God, God draws people. And so Sunday morning plays a huge role in the mission of God. As the church, we are the visible manifestation of the living God and His reign on this earth. This is why it's powerful when you get on a volunteer team and you serve once or twice a month. Because when somebody walks in who doesn't know God, or maybe he's never experienced the love of God, you get the opportunity to reveal His love and His character through your acts of service. And if we want to be a part of the mission of God, it starts by simply saying a small yes. When I look back on my life and I see the work of God in my life, it's the small yeses I've said along the way that has allowed the destiny and the calling of God to be released in my life. And practically, the mission of God begins. It's just the starting point. Again, it's so much more. Again, that's why I wanted to talk about that. But it does. It begins with serving in the local church that God has called you to be a part of. Sunday morning is a huge part of God's plan and what He wants to do in our community. But you know, the thing about serving is serving takes time. It takes commitment. It takes some sacrifice on your part. Because friend, we're not going to change this city in our spare time. It's just not going to happen. You and I are going to have to dedicate and put it aside to say, God, what do you want? How do you want to use me when it comes to Sunday morning at the church that I'm called to walk with? And we all begin to play our role, begin to function properly as a local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul begins to give us this analogy of the body, and he talks about how now we are the body of Christ. But then he goes on, you have to really go on and read chapter 13, 14, and 15 to understand this whole thing of functioning as the body. He moves into chapter 13. Now that you understand that you're a part of the body, then he begins to talk about what kind of attitude we are to carry as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. It's all about love, that we have the attitude of love. And then he moves into chapter 14. Once you understand the body, once you understand what attitude that you have, then he starts talking about these spiritual gifts that God gives each one of us so the body can function properly. And then he moves into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he understands that once we get involved in the local church that God's called us to be a part of, we're going to face opposition because the enemy only comes against those who are close to the battle line. He doesn't mess with those sitting in your seat. But all of us are called to move closer to the battle line and engage in mission. He knows it's going to be tough, so he reminds us what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He reminds us that Jesus did rise from the dead. And he says things like, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he closes with verse 58 of chapter 15, he says, therefore, my dear brothers or sisters, stand firm. Nate, you can come on up. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves, I love this, fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Wow. Here at Bethel, it takes a lot to put on a Sunday morning service. But I want you to understand, see, as we celebrate 11 years, we're not celebrating what I'm doing or Pastor Travis or Richard. We're celebrating really you is what we're celebrating. Because you, please hear me, you are what make Bethel great. It's not us. You make Bethel great. You coming, giving your money, given time, that's what makes Bethel great. And Sunday morning, it takes a lot. God draws people on Sunday morning. This is why we have a parking lot team, a greeter team, a cafe team, usher team, connection point, children's ministry. So we have a count team, all these things that we have on a Sunday morning. Because each of these, we call them departments, what they do is they tear down walls in people's lives. When people come to a church, they have all these walls. You did too when you first came here. You didn't know, but you did. Had all these walls built up. But every step that you took to getting through that front door, coming in here, you didn't know it, but a wall was being torn down in your life. See, the parking lot. People, you probably may have done this before, will come to church, can't find a parking place. They come in the parking place. You know what they do? They go right back out and go home. Well, I guess God didn't want me to come. There was no parking place. So our parking lot people are out there doing their best to give you a place to park. Again, so it can tear a wall down. Our greeters, you see the greeters greeting you, smiling. Hopefully they're smiling. Hello. What are they doing? They're tearing a wall down. Let me bottle water, Pastor Richard. The cafe. The cafe has a huge purpose in tearing a wall, especially for men. For some reason, a man, if they can just take a cup of coffee or a bottle of water, it makes them feel so much more comfortable holding it because they can hide behind this cup. It makes you feel more comfortable holding this in your, I don't know why, but it just does. So what is it doing? It's tearing a wall. You come in here and the ushers, sometimes everybody's standing up, it's kind of hard to find a seat. The ushers, what are they doing? Tearing down a wall. The children's ministry, oh my gosh, they're tearing down a huge wall. So you as a family can take your children to a place, which is beautiful back there, beautiful new facility, where it's safe. It's why we have cameras. You can look at everything, know what's going on. So they can, yes, experience the Word, experience God. But so you know what? So you know that they're being safe, taken care of, so you can come in here, sit down, and not be frantically, oh my God, are they being taken care of? What's going on? But no, so you can be calm. You know everything's all right, and you can focus in what God wants to communicate to you on that Sunday morning, tearing down a wall. Guys, Sunday morning is not about what happens here behind this pulpit. The Word needs to be preached, and it's going to be. But that's not what makes Bethel great. Think all those walls were torn down before I ever said, hey, my name's Lance. I'm glad you're at Bethel. This is why you being involved on a volunteer team is so important. It's so important that you take the time and say, you know what? The mission of God is so much more than Sunday morning, but yet God's using the church that I'm a part of to bring about His glory in this city. And I'm going to sign up to serve once a month in one service on a volunteer team. Amen. One more thing before Pastor Travis comes. He wants me to hurry because the time's getting away from us. But listen. Our worship team, they do a great job. And you could be sitting there, and you know what? You have a gift to sing or to play. That gift is a limited gift when it comes to a church. But what we experienced so many times, especially those, because it's limited, they've been abused in the past at other churches. And so they come to a church like Bethel, have a tremendous gift, but yet they're hesitant because the church I was at before, man, it was just way too much. And number one, that's okay. I understand that. But number two, this is not Bethel. This is a new place. And we're not going to burn you. See, it's okay to have that feeling that, man, I was used too much in the past. But here's what's not okay. It's not okay not to have a conversation. Because that could be a hurt that God wants to heal. And God brought you here for a purpose. And it's not to sit on your gift. It's to be used to bring God glory in this community. Others of you could be looking on stage and say, man, I got a gift to sing or play, but that's not my style. All along, not understanding that your style might be what we want to add to the team. Because we're a church of diversity, we want diverse giftings when it comes to what happens here on stage. Last thing, Pastor Travis, I'm so sorry. Last thing. I love talking about this because I like seeing you in the game. You might have to give up some things, But here's the thing. This is why, again, we look to the great hopes that we have. Because whatever I have to give up now, because I know that what I do now impacts eternity, it's not two different ages, it's continuous. Whatever I give up now, friend, I'm here to tell you, whatever pleasures or enjoyments I give up right now, I'm going to get them so much more when I get into eternity. I'm looking not what is seen, but what is unseen. Father, help us. God, we want to be a church that is reaching this community, that is on mission for you. God, more than just a Sunday morning, but Lord, you use Sunday morning. So I pray that each of my friends here today, Lord, would sign up and get involved in what you've added them to at Bethel Community Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a big hand clap.